Boudreaux. Oh, my friend Boudreaux is here. That's all I was going to say. Boudreaux and his good buddy went out to eat. And it's, you call him a koala bear? These little, came in the restaurant, placed his order. He ate, Boudreaux and his friend sitting there watching him. Finished eating, he gets up, the bear, and just shoot up the place. So Boudreaux's buddy said, "What in the world is that?" Boudreaux said, "Man, it's my fault. I should have told you that, because I was reading last night. That's what they do." He said, "What do you mean that's what they do?" So Boudreaux pulled out his iPhone and he Googled and he said, "Read." His friend could read and he said, "I don't see nothing here. What do you see that?" He said, "Look under diet." So he looked under diet. He says, "Eat, shoots, and leave." Yeah, who got it? Explain it to those. Oh, my goodness. Anyway, you know, we're here to celebrate Christ getting up, right? See, Miss Betty liked that. You like that one, huh, Miss Betty? It's kind of corny, but good, huh? I get them for my grandkids and I share them with y'all. Anyway, we're celebrating Christ getting up, right? Sin could not keep him in the grave, right? But what if there was no resurrection? You ever thought about that? Many said, you know, Sadducees said, what? There's no resurrection, right? So what if there was no resurrection? That would be a bad place to be, right? Well, if there was no resurrection, then there is no resurrection, right? If nobody ever got up, then we ain't going to get up, right? Oh, dead, you're done. You know what I'm saying? You're dead, you're done. Eat, drink, be merry, because when you stop breathing, that's it. On to wherever it is you go. Purgatory, wherever it is you go, there's no resurrection. Well, if there is no resurrection, the first liar in the New Testament, that is, was Jesus Christ himself. And you even had guys like Daniel lying in the Old Testament. But turn to Matthew chapter 12. And let's watch how Jesus Christ lies. There's no resurrection. And, you know, during the New Testament time, there was a lot of that floating around, that there was no resurrection, right? Some even said that he didn't come in the flesh, so he couldn't have died. Had he came in the flesh, he'd have been evil. So y'all say he was holy, so he couldn't have come in the flesh. But watch what Christ says in Matthew chapter 12. Everybody got it? Then certain of the scribes and the Pharisees answered, saying, "Master, we would see a sign from thee." But answered he and said unto them, "An evil and adulterous generation seeking after a sign. There shall be no sign given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonah. For Jonah was 3 days and nights in the fish's belly. So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the ground." Now, we know from the rest of the scripture, he's going to get up after 3 days, right? Okay, Matthew chapter 17. It's one of the first lies that Christ told about the resurrection. Why would you lie and say you're going to get up if you're not going to get up? In Matthew 17, look in verse 3. Now, this is at the Mount of Transfiguration. Everybody got it? Verse 3 says, "And hold, he appeared unto them, Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said," here's bright Peter again, "Lord, it's good for us that thou wilt make three tabernacles, one for thee," at least he included Christ, and one for Moses and one for Elias. And we know what happened. Christ rebuked him, right? Look down at verse 8. That is when the light appeared, they all got scared. Verse 8. It's saying they had lifted up their eyes and they saw no man save Jesus. And as they came down from the mount, Jesus charged them, saying, tell no man about this vision until what? Till he be risen from the dead. Well, Jesus, you're lying again. And I think he did this intentional to Peter and them, just to say, yeah, this is Moses, this is Elijah, but listen to my son. See, because these guys were writing about the one that is to come. So let's look forward to the death, burial, and the resurrection. Turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 2. This is one that he really got him hot. Nobody would ever say, well, no, I don't think Christ lied. Well, yes, you are. If you say that there's no resurrection, he had to tell a lie, right? Because he's still in the ground somewhere, right? I can remember at a Thursday night Bible study, we had a guy come in that was an atheist, total atheist. He had a stack of books that was going to prove to us that there was no such thing as God and the resurrection. But anyway, nobody knew that he was an atheist. Somebody invited him. And that was the time that they had found the remains of somebody in Jerusalem or whatever. And they said, could this be the bones of Christ? So, you know, everybody was saying, well, it may be. And I said, well, y'all need to stop and think for a second. And if that's the bones of Christ, we're to be pitied of all people. Because he didn't have a bodily resurrection. That means that he was contaminated with sin of his own. So God did not raise him totally from the dead. And David says something totally different. That he got up bodily. How do we know he got up bodily? He got up and walked through walls, remember? So he got up bodily. And this guy said, oh, that's just foolishness. There's no such thing as God. But he's going to prove to us with a whole bunch of books. So I asked him a question. I said, before you get started, you can have the floor, but are those books inspired? He looked at me and said, what do you mean? I said, well, who are those books? I said, I'm going to show you from Lang and Hume, these guys, these philosophers, these guys who at most of the universities tell you that there's no such thing as a God. I said, so you're going to believe them. You got about at least 10 books. And we got one. We're going to combat whatever you say from one book that's inspired, but yours not inspired. Didn't change his mind one bit by 3 hours, back and forth. Blinded. The light was so bright he couldn't even see. But anyway, in John chapter 2, look in verse 18. Now this is them, the Pharisees and Sadducees, needling Jesus about, you know, trying to find out what you're here for, what you're doing. You know, you ain't the Messiah, you ain't this, you ain't whatever. And verse 18, it says, then answered Jesus and said unto them, what sign showest thou, seeing that you do all these things? In other words, we saw the miracles. Look at what Jesus says. Destroy this temple, and I will, what, in 3 days, raise it up. But you see, lost people or religious people, they'll miss it every time. And it goes on to say, they thought he was talking about this physical temple, but he spoke of his body, his resurrection body. And look at what it said, I will raise myself up in 3 days. Jesus started his ministry with lies, right? That there was going to be a resurrection from the dead. I'm going to raise myself from the dead. Man, if there's no resurrection, it's a sad day. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. If there's no resurrection, I can become a politician. So I don't have to worry about morals. I don't have to worry about none of that. I can just lie, do whatever I want to do because ain't no resurrection anyway, right? May as well go for all the gusto while I'm here because ain't nothing else to come, right? If there's no resurrection. Look at what Paul says. Look at what Christ says through Paul. People say, oh, I like the red. Well, the whole Bible should have been in red because it's all the word of Christ. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 12. Paul says this. Now, if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how some say among you that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there be no resurrection of the dead, then Christ be not risen. And if Christ be not risen, then our preaching is vain. What's the next part of that verse saying? And your faith is also vain. We just here been doing stuff stupid today. Why are we here? Preaching to some dead man that never got up. And if he never got up, then we ain't never going to get up. And Paul goes on to say in verse 15, we're to be found false witness of God because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so, that the dead rise not. Think about it. If the dead rise not, Paul is saying, then is Christ not raised. Your faith is vain, and the biggest thing of all, you're still dead in your sins. You got a bunch of lifeless people sitting out there right now. If there be no resurrection, still dead in your sins. Man, just think about it. If there's no resurrection. Go back to John chapter 20. If there's no resurrection, the greatest hoax ever perpetrated on man was perpetrated by the writers of the New Testament. Y'all believe that? They pulled the wool over y'all's eyes. They totally fooled me. Look in John chapter 20. Verse 1. It says, the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the grave of the sepulchre, and see the stone taken away from the grave. Then runneth come Simon Peter and the other disciples, whom Jesus loved, and said, They have what? I'm sorry, verse 3. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciples came to the sepulchre, and so ran both together, and the other disciple did outrun Peter, and came first to the grave, and he stooped down, and looking in, and what did he see? Linen clothes, lying yet. Then coming Simon Peter following him, and went into the sepulchre, and seeing the clothes and the napkin that was about Jesus' head, now lined with the linen clothes and wrapped together in a place by itself. Now these guys was lying because they saw no body. They saw the clothes that he was wearing, but they saw no body. You think that ain't a great hoax? if there was no resurrection? And then went to others, and he was gone. He got up, they said. Big hoax. Big, big hoax. He's gone. And let me tell you why that's a lie for somebody to say that he didn't get up, that the disciples pulled it off. Impossible. Totally 100% impossible. Turn to Matthew chapter 27. I'm going to show you why it's totally impossible. The hoax said that the tomb is empty. We saw nothing in it. We saw the clothes he was wearing, but we saw no body. He got up. He simply got up. It's gone. Matthew chapter 27, look in verse 64. Now, if there was no resurrection, why the religious people tried so hard to cover it up? Because now watch what it says in Matthew 27:64. They just talking to themselves, they say, they told the chief priest, well, remember that deceiver when he was alive? Well, that's proof that he's dead. So no question about it. They know he was dead. When he was alive, said that he was going to rise after 3 days. So here's what I want you to do. Command, therefore, verse 64. Command that the sepulcher be made sure until the third day, lest his disciples come by night and steal him away and say unto the people, he is risen from the dead, so that the last error shall be worse than the first. And look at what Pilate said. Pilate said unto them, ye have a watch. Go your way. Make it sure as you can. So they went and made the sepulcher sure, sealing it with a stone, setting a watch. Setting a watch there is setting a sentry. That's 80 to 100 men to watch and make sure they don't steal the body. So to me, that's pretty proof that he got out. How did he get by 100 soldiers? So you think the disciples went and stole the body? Man, it's like having an army out there, and me and Miss Betty and Craig and whoever's crazy enough to challenge him would go and move the big stone and take him out. Right? So I'm imagining they probably left the third day and went back and reported safe and sound. He didn't come out. So they can't lie and say that was a resurrection. But the rest is history. Because it did come out. He did come out. And because he came out, man, we can rejoice, because that same life that God used to raise the dead Christ, he used to raise me and you. And that's why we can celebrate the resurrection. You say, well, man, that's not that important. You don't think that that's pretty important? I bet you it's pretty important. Turn to John chapter 11, if you don't think it's important. John chapter 11. Let's see just how important it is. See, most Christian organizations or religious organizations, you don't think Christianity, faith in Christ, is just coming to a place on Sunday and getting refueled and getting rid of a few rules and regulations and and go back home and do the best you can. No, it's a life. It's a resurrected life. You have been raised from the dead, just like Christ was raised from the dead. And he infuses you with his life. You believe. You're baptized into the body by the Spirit. That's life. That's why Paul can say this: the Spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death, because I have life that I didn't have before. No resurrection, no life. No life, no justification, no justification, no nothing. We're all hell bound. Look in John chapter 11. Watch how important this is. In John chapter 11, we know what Christ take the physical and make a spiritual application to it and say, y'all listen up, you get this, and you're going to live a victorious Christian life. Guaranteed. No question about it. John chapter 11, verse 24. Then Martha said unto him, that he shall rise again. This is Lazarus done died. Jesus waited until he was good and graveyard dead, stinketh, before he came back. I want to give y'all the best illustration I can give you is what Jesus said. So Martha said, I know he's going to raise in the last day. Verse 25, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, why would he say that? I am the resurrection and the life. What he's simply saying, I'm going to raise everybody up, some to life and some to damnation. Yeah, I am the resurrection. But if you believe the gospel, I'm going to give you life, eternal life. If you have not believed the gospel, then you're going to be in eternal damnation. I am the life, the resurrection, and the life. And then he asked the question. He says, whosoever believes in me shall never die. Why? Because of resurrection life. And that life is only eternal life. If God raised Christ from the dead so that he might die again, then we're going to suffer the same fate. But we know that that's not going to happen, because he died under sin once. And sin killed all of us once. Either you're going to stay in it, die in it, or you're going to believe the gospel and God's going to give you resurrected life. God didn't get up. We may as well just leave here and go party. Miss Betty, you still remember how to party? Oh, you say you never lost it, huh? But think about it. No resurrection, no life. I am the resurrection and the life. You have to turn there, but in Daniel chapter 12, what does it say? Those are going to rise out of the dust, some to everlasting life and some to everlasting contempt. How do you distinguish the two? John chapter 3. Turn back to John chapter 3. The Word of God is so consistent about life and how you get life. That's why I could say to me and you in Ephesians chapter 2, you were dead in trespasses and sins. You were in condemnation. Or you were in everlasting contempt if you stayed there. A lot of people said unpardonable sin is unbelief. I said unpardonable sin is a condition in Adam. And it's your choice to either stay in Adam or to get in Christ. John chapter 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. I think that's why Christ told Peter, when it was on the Mount of Transfiguration, stop looking at Moses. Moses was pointing you to me. So they disappeared, and my word remained forever, right? Hebrews 1 said, in his last days he's spoken through his Son. So listen to his Son. If I be lifted up, I will draw men unto me. Verse 15, whosoever believe in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Verse 17, for God sent his son not into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. They believe, might be saved. Verse 18, he that believe on him is not condemned, but he that believe not is condemned already because he's not believed. So you're going to be resurrected to eternal damnation if you're not believed. But man, if you believe, we celebrating the day. That's why I can say if any man be in Christ, he's a what? Life. You got life. You got life eternal. You got life eternal. And all through the scripture, it talks about the resurrection. Even if you don't see the word resurrection in it, it talks about resurrection. In Ephesians chapter 1, you don't have to turn that. After that you trust it, you believe the gospel of your salvation, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit, resurrected life. You were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. For how long? Until the day of redemption. No resurrection, no redemption. No resurrection, no forgiveness. No resurrection, Christ lied through Paul and in Ephesians and in Colossians, especially in Colossians chapter 2, where he says, he made a show of them openly in it, in what? The cross. You're lying because you didn't get up. He said, yes, I got up. And when I got up, I made a show of them openly. Took sin out of the way. Took the law, nailed it to the cross. Well, you're lying, Christ, because you didn't get up. Yes, I got up. Romans chapter 6, don't turn there, but Paul says this. If you die with him, you also are resurrected with him. Now you got the power to live for him. Because he's the one that want to live in and through you. That is, if you got life. No life, man, no nothing. There's no blessed hope. There's no peace. There's no throne room of grace. We still need the animal sacrifice if we got no life. What are we going to do with our sins if there's no life? Miss Betty, you raised bulls and sheep and stuff. You still got your little altar and your high priest. And man, can't you see if there's no life? And only we can have life is he had to have gotten up. Don't get up. Man, we're goners. If Christ be not raised, you're still dead in your sins. He lied when he said he took them away and he nailed them to the cross. Well, okay, he nailed them to the cross, but they're still there because he's still in the ground. So that means sin had victory over him, and definitely if it had victory over him, we don't stand a chance. Man, Paul said, we're to be pitied of all people. Totally pitied. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Not only did he rise, he told us what it was going to look like. First Corinthians 15:1. Paul says this. We know this one by heart. The gospel message. It's all about what? The three-day gospel, I call it. The death, the burial, and the resurrection. Paul puts it this way. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you, verse 1, the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered unto you first of all, which also I received, which also received, how that Christ died for our sins, according to what is written, right? According to the scriptures. And what do you do with dead people? You bury them, right? And that's exactly what they did. They buried him. My sin, your sin, killed him. But the problem is, if he didn't get up, then we still own our sins. Because he didn't help us, he couldn't help us, right? But Paul says, look, but he got up the third day according to the scripture. Well, I just read where Christ prophesied that I'm going to die, but I'm going to get up. John chapter 16 tells us about that. And we're going to be convicted of sin. Why? Because I go to the Father and you see me no more. Well, what that means? Well, if I go to the Father, that means I had to have gotten up, right? The Father had to say, sacrifice accepted, perfect. Come back to where you started. You've taken care of the sin debt once and for all. Now, it's up to everybody to believe that and either come out of condemnation that you were born in and get into Christ, which is life, resurrected life. That's why he made you brand new. You've been raised from the dead. That's the gospel message. Look a little bit further down in 1 Corinthians 15. Verse 54. It's okay, let me tell you about the resurrection. Here's what it's going to look like. So when the corruptible shall put on incorruption, well, what is that? The new body. The resurrected body. And the mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass, saying, that is written, back to written again, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is where? In the law. Where there is no law, there is no sin. That sounds like an oxymoronic statement. He said, people are still sinning, there's no law. What he's saying, where there's no law, there's no importation of sin to your account. That's what he's saying. That's why grave can have no victory. I want to say something, as J. Vernon McGee says, I'm going to tell y'all something, don't tell nobody. Christ killed death at the cross. Sounds funny, don't it? He murdered death at the cross. That's exactly what happened. But look at what Paul goes on to say here, and I'm going to show you, I'm going to prove it in a few minutes. In verse 57, says, but thanks be to God who gave us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Only place you're going to ever find victory is through his resurrected life. You wouldn't have no victory if he didn't rise from the dead, right? He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, that is settled, unmovable, always. That means at all times, abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain. That is a teaching from the grace of God. Since Christ has done all this, new body, resurrect, here's what you should be about. Peter said, always willing to give a reason for the hope. Man, you ought to be shouting it from the mountaintop. especially today he got up. And since he got up, we got victory over death. See, that's not true. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and watch what happened once you believe the gospel. Second Timothy chapter 1. I can remember first seeing this verse and I hung on it for weeks, broke it apart. And I said, man, if this ain't enough to make you shout and celebrate, I don't know what is. The one thing man fears the most is what? Death, right? I don't no more. I really don't. Because victory was not on me. It was on him. I said 2 Timothy, right? Just want to see if y'all was listening. 2 Timothy chapter 1. We can never, ever die spiritually again. Paul says this, verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not therefore ashamed of the testimony of the Lord, nor of his prisoner, but thou be what? Partakers of the affliction of the gospel according to the power of God. Watch this now. Who has, past tense, saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. Now, Paul, you just said back in 1 Corinthians, always abounding in the work. I said, I'm not talking about salvation. I'm talking about because of salvation. Because he's done all this. You got the new body. You're guaranteed it's a lot. You got preservation, Jude says. You got reservation, Peter says. If you believe the gospel. But according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. So all those people who don't recognize Christ, you got nothing. You got nothing. But it's now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who has abolished death and brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. You hear the gospel, you believe it, you get life, and death is abolished. The word abolished said rendered useless. No more power. There's no power in death. Why do you think Paul could say, what you gonna do to me? You kill the body. It goes to the ground, but I'm gonna say absence from the body, present with the Lord. Great. Death has no power. It has no power. Think about it. When Christ died, so did death. He said, oh, not until he got up, but he knew he was going to get up. Didn't know he was going to get up. He couldn't say you were in him before the foundation of the world. He knew he was going to get up. He didn't going to behold me because I'm not going to ever commit a sin. And I'm going to take the sin debt for all the sinners. And the Father's going to accept the sacrifice. That's why I can say by one offering, he's perfected forever those that come to him how? By faith. Ain't nothing death can do to you. What's he going to do? Take you out of this misery? You ain't got to worry about the 6 o'clock news. You ain't got to worry about Craig promising to make me a loan and never come through. Yeah, I'm going to expose you. Get money for me and Chloe to go shopping for a car. But man, death has no power. Y'all know what that really means? No power. It's abolished. It's been done away with. Grave has no more victory. No more victory. Turn to little epistle of 1 John. Let me give y'all some extras here. Y'all didn't pay for this. I'm just going to give it to you. The age-old argument throughout the New Testament is basically about what Christ didn't do. Oh, we don't believe he did this. We don't believe he's Messiah. Well, it doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't make it not true, right? Nobody ever tell you, well, God said it, I believe it, and that's that? Well, God said it, and it's true whether you believe it or not, right? But look in the little epistle of 1 John, very first chapter. And I did a little run through. One writer, the Apostle John, emphasizes this. In John 1:1, 1 John 1:1, in Revelation 19. One writer. Here's what he emphasized. Why? Here's what John says. Now, you got these people here were saying, well, no, he couldn't have come in the flesh. And if he did come in the flesh, he didn't die. Maybe God just snatched him off the cross and blah, 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 because he was sinful and it was all that stuff. These writers, John write this. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled him, of the word of life. He is the word of life. And the only way he could be the word of life, he had to resurrect. Revelation 19 says his name is called the word of God. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. And then a little bit further down, he said that light appeared that it may do away with darkness, right? Now all of us who see the gospel and come to the light, that's where you live. You live in light. So man, the resurrection of Christ is everything to us. Death of Christ reconciled us. And we know he's died because they buried him. And we know he rose from the dead because the word of God says so. Back to 1 Corinthians chapter 15 in closing. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I mean, is there anybody here that honestly believes that sin could have kept Christ in the grave? Lots of people do. Those that believe he existed. Well, those that don't believe he existed have the bigger problem. But 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we just read about the gospel. And 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 4. And that he was buried, and that he rose the third day according to the scriptures. And that he was seen of Cephas and up to 12. And after that he was seen of above, how many? At once. Whom the greater part remain to this present, but some have fallen asleep. After he was seen of James, then of all the apostles, and at last he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time. For I'm the least of the apostles, and not fit or meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church. He got up. And because he got up, how many people got out of the grave just as a little exercise for Christ to say, you see what resurrection power is? I get you out of the grave. Oh, he got up because we alive. And I just pray that our symptoms, Mr. Bill, next time we do them, am I? We should have symptoms of resurrection life. Y'all know what some of the symptoms are? Love one another. Knowing what your part is in the body of Christ. Not ready to trounce on somebody. Paul said, ready to abound in the work of the Lord. Ready to abound in the work of the Lord. Man, if I can't give you a hand, I ain't going to give you a bunch of criticism. I'm just not going to do it. I'd rather say nothing than to say something ugly. But that's what it means to abound in the work of the Lord. Nobody can love. But the work of the Lord is loving through us. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And that's what a body is supposed to do. Paul said, man, look what he's given you. He's raised you from the dead just like God raised him from the dead. Now abound in his work. Anyway, have a good rest of the resurrection Sunday. Share it with somebody that Christ really got up. Great segue. Do you know what it means that he got up? Do you really know what it means that he got up? I'm not trying to be pushy. I'm not trying to put religion on you. But I just want to tell you what happened in case you're interested. Because he lived, you can live. And chances are they're going to say, oh, I'm living. Oh, you're breathing. You're not living. I want to tell you about life, real life. And that's the life that Christ offered. Lord, again, we thank you for the death, burial, and resurrection. That is the full gospel. A death of reconciliation and resurrection for life. Lord, that's our ticket to heaven. There is no other ticket. And you tell us to abound in your work because this is what my work looked like through you. So if you would just share with somebody just a little example of what God's work is in and through you, you might get them to believe. And Lord, again, I just thank you that you gave up, as Miss Betty sang this morning, you gave up all the gold in heaven, all the wealth that you had with the Father to come to a bankrupt society to accept all those that would put faith in you and what you came and what you did. Lord, we thank you. Apart from you, we're zeros. You're the hero. And we simply thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your Son, who is in his name I pray. Amen.